We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
On the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, this is Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Holtz, brought to you by Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics, Louisiana Propane Dealers, fuel for our future, Origin Bank, the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics, and by Northern Louisiana Medical Center, the official imaging partner of La Tech Athletics. Now, live from the Doghouse Sports Grill, this is Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Holtz. Here is your host, Teddy Allen.
Hey, everybody, on a cool night, a warm welcome to all of y'all. Happy Halloween week. Come on down if you're listening for food and beverage specials to the Doghouse. You also stick around and watch the Chicago Bears and Big Andrew Whitworth and the L.A. Rams, Big Wits from West Monroe. So if you watch the game, root for the left tackle, Andrew Whitworth, number 77. Skip Holtz is with us. Skip, it's your show. Welcome to the show. We haven't done this much.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Yeah, well, it's your show. So we haven't done this much, and the Bulldogs in the last 7 years have lost back-to-back games just four times. So this is frustrating territory and unusual territory for you. What was the frustration level on the 26-27 loss down in San Antonio?
No, it was very frustrating. It was frustrating because we felt like we had the lead most of the game. We had a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter, and it was a tale of two halves. What I felt at halftime was really good about our football team, playing really well on special teams, doing a great job bottling things up on defense. Offensively, we had over 200 yards in the first half, which almost matched our output for the last two games and the total games. And so I felt like things were going in the right direction. And then we came out in the third quarter, and really they had a 16-play drive to start the third quarter. And then we turned the ball over, which put our defense in a bad field position. And we only ended up with five plays in the third quarter. And with only five plays in the third quarter, it made it really hard. It was just frustrating. A lot of frustration for the players to go out to play as hard as we did and then to lose a game like that was just tough.
Just 55 yards and just 23 snaps in the second half, and it's hard to score the ball when that's the case. The only score in the second half for the Bulldogs, Zeke Barnett with another pick six, the second of his career, and then the bad guys get 21 points in the second half. One of our questions, I didn't get to the questions and tell you who asked it in a minute, but it was the Bulldogs started missing some tackles late. You
yes.
think they were somewhat gassed by that point?
I would think that'd be fair. I mean, when you look at a 16-play drive to start the second half and then the offense turned the ball over, and then when defense was doing some really good things, then Zeke makes the interception, runs it back, and like I said, we got to get ready to go again, because unfortunately when you have a pick six, you got to get back out there on the field. Yeah. And you got to go get ready to play again. So I think there was probably a little bit of fatigue in it, but still, to be the type of defense we want to be and to have the leadership that we have, guys like Milton Williams and Trey Baldwin and those guys, they're certainly not looking for excuses on why we weren't able to close the game out defensively. But I think it's a team effort. Our offense has got to do its part. Our defense has got to do its part. And I really thought special teams played its most complete game of the year.
Yep.
I thought it was our most complete game of the year on special teams. So especially, I thought the way Gabe kicked the ball, I think we need to call the Alamo Dome and see if we can play there every week. If we could play there every week, I think it would help Gabe with his kicking. No wind, no rain. But I thought he kicked the ball really well. I thought our cover teams on punt and even our punt return, it was unfortunate that that we didn't quite get the touchdown on the one, because I thought when C.J. Powell broke free and went down, I thought he was going to have an opportunity to maybe make a house call and a punt return, and there's not a more exciting play than a touchdown on the special teams.
Yeah, he got tackled by the 35-yard line, I think.
Yes,
I think
I know
he was sick
right.
About it.
Exactly.
Barnes had good hang time, good coverage. C.J. made a tackle, I think, on one of those. And then Barnes has the four first-half field goals. Not many. The last guy to do that was his big brother in a game.
Well, it's unfortunate we gave him four opportunities to kick it as many times as we were down there. But Jacob's doing an excellent job. I believe he's 7-for-7 on the season. Really did a nice job. I thought, when you look at what he's done as a kicker, I couldn't be more excited. And yet, as a punter, I think we just got to keep coming with what he's doing right now. But I know that Billy from Morningsport is the guy that asked a little bit about the defense in the fourth quarter, but I definitely think it's one of the things that we can look at. But like I said, I don't think they're looking for excuses. They want to get better, and I think they were actually encouraged by their play on Saturday night.
Jacob Barnes has made 7 straight field goals. Only his brother with 14 is a school leader. Bailey Hale with 12 back in 2019. Kyle Fisher in 13. I forgot about that. And Matt Nelson in 8 in 2012. So Jacob just wanted to move into the 4th spot all time. You mentioned Trey Baldwin today. He was named Player of the Week in the conference. He had 18 tackles, and he's just playing like a wild man, and it's a lot of fun to watch him.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. And you look at right now, he's missed 2 games. Tyler Grubbs is ranked 1st in the country right now in tackles, in total tackles. Tyler Grubbs is a true freshman, is ranked 1st in the country. But Trey Baldwin's ranked 5th in the country, and Trey Baldwin has missed 2 games. I think I've said this before, to have 2 guys in the top 5 in the tackles in the country. Now, we haven't had linebacker play this good since I've been here, and it is fun to watch and to see Mackie Carabin come in and the contribution that he's making right now. I think our linebackers have a chance to be really good, and when you look at them, one of them's a redshirt freshman and one of them's a true freshman right now.
Yep.
Now, Trey Baldwin has every intention of coming back from what he's told me, but boy, when you look at the way that he's playing defense right now, I'm really, really encouraged. We got to keep our our temper in check a little bit. He got that 1 15-yard penalty in the first half when he hit the quarterback and he got up and tried to get verbal with him, and he kind of shoot him away like a get away. And unfortunately, the official didn't like that, so he ended up throwing a flag on him.
18 tackles. If you get a chance, we talked to Trey for 6 or 7 minutes before he went to a linebacker meeting the other day, and you could listen to the Talk and Tech with Teddy podcast with him. His real name's Quintraven, and I said, "Is there anybody ever called you that?" And he said, "Yeah, my mom when she's mad at me or when she's being serious." He also talks about her chicken spaghetti, his 8 brothers and sisters. It's a really athletic family. And he talks about his journey here and how trouble's easy to get into and hard to get out of, and he thinks this is the perfect spot for him. So it's impossible not to like and give him a listen if you get a chance. Big Joe from Rayville, go ahead.
Love that guy.
He's
love
fun,
that guy.
And he's a team captain, and he's earned it, and he's all business when he gets on the field. Big Joe says Tech leads 6-3 in the second quarter, second goal from the 7, and the 2 straight timeouts that were called. I was thinking, y'all, I said, they've got this put in just for UTSA. They've seen something, but then There was a lot of confusion.
No, there was a lot of confusion. And, you know, there was a new rule put in, Big Joe, that if you have your face guard down on television, if there's five instances of anybody not in a uniform with their face guard down, it's a $10,000 fine for the university. And so everybody's having to wear their mask. And just like when we talk here, if I put my mask on, it's a lot harder to hear what I'm trying to say. And as I'm talking on, on a speaker system, and you're talking to the signalers, and I called Z in, and one signaler heard it, and one didn't. So the quarterback had it, the receiver didn't. So he's trying to. It was timeout. Let's get everybody on the same page. So we bring everybody over to the sideline, and I called a formation. It's actually called Razor. To the right, but I have my mask up, and as I called Razor, the quarterback took that as Laser, and so he went out and called Laser and called the formation into the boundary, and it was like, no, we need timeout. You know what? Let's get this straight. But it was a communication timeout. It should never happen. Those are things that I got to eliminate. But I think we're all getting ready. To maybe go to those plastic face shields that are open under the bottom. It's just too hard to communicate with the masks over your mouth and being able to communicate. And all this verbiage and terminology, and you're saying it, and it's all muffled. We just got to look at what we got to do to clean it up. But it's certainly – that's what happened, Big Joe. I'd love to tell you that, you know, there was a more interesting story than that, but unfortunately it wasn't. It was just a matter of misverbal communication
between the staff. Mask-based.
Yes.
Yeah, I would have never guessed that. Little Joe from Ravel, getting kind of serious. Has Tech considered moving its center, Rusty, out to left tackle, play Delpin at center, and then Campbell at right guard since he's a true guard?
No, and he is a true guard, and God bless him. He's doing everything we've asked of him. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got put in this uncomfortable situation. Byron Rossell didn't get back from his injury with Allen, with Willie Allen opting out. It created a hole out there, and so he has stepped out, and he's doing everything we can to do it. But right now, I think it would be really hard for Cody Russey. What you're looking for, Cody Russey, Abe, I mean, some of those guys, what you're really looking for is you're looking for that guy that's about 6'4", 6'5", and has long arms. And I really think a guy like Dakota White is coming along and doing some really good things. But it's just hard to play the tackle position at 6'1", Little Joe.
Yep, and if you get a chance, again, to watch the Rams tonight, watch 77, the left tackle, and that'll show you what a tackle is supposed to look like and how to play it. It's a tough position. Ben from Shreveport, what happened to the offense in the second half to make it collapse? Had the same players and all of a sudden couldn't execute. Was this because of plays called or something else?
Well, you know, when you look at it, Ben, the first half, I thought they did a really nice job. And as we just got done saying a minute ago, in the third quarter, we moved the ball a little bit. We went down. We hit C.J. Powell over the middle for a 15-yard gain. He hits a big gain and fumbles. Their defense started with the ball, had a 16-play drive, ate up almost 8 minutes of the corner. We fumble. They get the ball right back. They eat up a little bit more, go down and score. Then when we got the ball in the fourth quarter, all of a sudden it's a two-score game. It's a 13-point game, and defensively they changed. What happened was they became much more aggressive. They started blitzing us. They started pressuring us, and we weren't able to execute under pressure. And that was one of the things that we talked about. I'm sure the two-minute drive is going to come up, you know, and that why would you make a change at quarterback in the two-minute drive? But really, we weren't executing against pressure. And in a two-minute situation, we felt like we'd get more of it. And so we felt like maybe if we go with Aaron Allen, he'll handle the pressure a little bit more. And what happens as a new quarterback, when you get a lot of pressure, you have to be able to get rid of the ball, and you got to be able to go to your hot reads, and we just weren't able to execute it very well at all at the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Was that Sally from Ruston was wondering if the fumble play you just mentioned, was that a hustle play by UTSA? He came up tackled him from behind, or did CJ just have the ball loose?
No.
It was a huge play.
It was a huge play in the game because, as we said, there's two things in the second half. If we don't turn the ball over and if we don't give up the big play as a defense, I do not think they can drive the field and beat us. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we gave up a big play pass and a big play run, and we had a turnover at midfield. I mean, if any one of those three things don't happen, we're sitting here talking about the 4-3 Bulldogs. Unfortunately, 4-2 Bulldogs.
Yes.
Unfortunately, with the turnover, we're 3-3 in the two big plays. But you know what, Sally? I don't ever think it's a hustle play. I think any time the ball comes out, that's your fault. You know, I mean, you've got the opportunity to have it, protect it, guard it, hold it high and tight, put two hands on it if you have to, and protect in a crowd. But I think we got to do a better job of protecting it. They did a nice job. They pulled the ball out. But, you know what, every time you carry the ball, they're trying to get it and you're trying to protect it. Somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose, and we got to do a better job of holding on to the football.
I think you like to say that they named the entire game after the –
Exactly. The game is so important.
Ball.
The game is so important. They named the ball is so important. They named the game after it.
Game after it. I think CJ had 8 catches in the
yes.
game. But yeah, when you're that gives you a chance to get another score, and it's going to be real hard for the bad guys to catch up. We're going to take a break. Come on down the doghouse if you get a chance. We'll be back in one more moment to talk with Skip Holtz. And if you want to make a call or text the hotline, it's 318-347-5897. Back in a minute. You're listening to Bulldog Football on Learfield ING College.
Injured athletes need quality care to get back into the game. And teams in our region understand they can score big points when they choose Willis-Knighton Sports Medicine for their athletes. Only Willis-Knighton offers 4 nationally recognized hospitals, professional orthopedic and sports medicine centers, sophisticated rehabilitation, and the largest group of orthopedic specialists in the region. Whether you're a high school, college, or pro athlete, WK Sports Medicine has you covered.
We're about living in the moment.
You know, that moment when you open a Pepsi and hear the music.
We're the doers, the shakers, the tastemakers.
The ones who dance to their own beat.
The ones who stay cool when things heat up.
Whether the party is big or small.
We're the ones who never want it to end.
The ones who can't stop.
And never will.
The beat starts at Pepsi.com. Pepsi. Live for now.
Hi, I'm Miss Louisiana Megan Cruz on behalf of the Louisiana Propane Dealers. We're all used to bad weather in Louisiana, and we know the benefits of clean, portable propane gas during those emergencies. But if your propane tank is ever damaged in a storm, you should have it inspected by a certified propane dealer. And if you ever smell gas, turn the system off at the tank and call your dealer immediately. Propane is a safe and exceptional energy source, and we want to keep it that way.
Back at the doghouse for Inside Bulldog Football. Coach Skip Holtz, this is Teddy Allen. Come on down to the doghouse for food and drink discounts and specials, and stick around and watch Monday Night Football. And remember that when the Dogs are on the road, this is the way to place to be to watch the game. They're not going to be on the road this week, though. They're going to play UAB and the Joe at 2:30 Saturday. Hope you can be there. The Bulldogs would love to have you. Bulldogs are now 3-3 overall, 2-2 in the league. You're kind of in a fist fight now, Coach, all of a sudden in the conference.
We certainly are. And I think as a football team right now, we're trying to get our feet on the ground. We're trying to figure out, you know, what we have to do to efficiently move the football up and down the field. I think defensively we're getting better. Special teams we're getting better. But we've said this from the beginning. We're going to be a work in progress when you look at the number of new starters that we have and guys that are continuing to develop. But as far as the league is concerned, you're going to be in a dogfight. You don't know how many games you're guaranteed to get an opportunity to play. And so we're just going to have to keep swinging and keep improving with what we're doing as a football team right now.
Well, one of the things that's certainly a bright spot, as you mentioned a minute ago, is the linebackers. And if you listen to the podcast, Trey introduces the whole two deep to you, which is wonderful to listen to him talk about his teammates. But since 2017, 7 Dogs have combined to record 12 pick sixes. That's the most in the country during that span. And Darrell Lewis had 2 of them. Amik Robertson had 2. And now Ezekiel Barnett's got to. Jake from Ruston, this is a hard question, he says, but given our offensive output in the last few games, has Skip considered letting Coach Sloan run the offense?
Coach Sloan is running the offense. I mean,
maybe he means let him play quarterback.
I mean, he is running.
He is the offensive coordinator.
He is the offensive coordinator. He's running the offense. He puts together the game plans. They sit down, and I mean, him and the entire offensive staff are involved. The play calling is a joint effort on our parts. The final play comes out of my mouth. But he is running the offense. I have not sat in an offensive meeting with the offensive team yet. I mean, this is right now he's running it. I think he's got a very challenging task ahead of him right now when you look at it with a new quarterback and trying to figure out what we're able to do and trying to find some consistency. It's very hard to evaluate the quarterback situation when you look at the woes on our offensive line and some of the protection issues. We can't, I know everybody's talking about how many yards we've had. We can't throw the ball down the field because if we do, we take a sack. So we're trying to use ball control, quick passing. It's a very delicate situation right now that the offense is dealing with, and I certainly understand the woes and the problems. This is not just about how many yards can you get, because you can drop back and throw it deep every snap, but you're going to take some sacks along the way. And so we do need to find a way to get the ball downfield more, but we got to find a way to protect our passer, because I can tell you every time a deep ball comes out of my mouth, I mean, I hold my breath. You know, it's like I hope we get it off. And you go back to Marshall game, we threw a play-action deep ball the first play of the game when all of a sudden the quarterback went 1-2-3, hit his back step, threw the ball, got hit, and the ball fluttered up in the arm, and we threw an interception. So we're trying to do what we have to do to win. It may not always be pretty. I think we're giving our team a chance to win in a lot of respects, and we just have to continue to figure out what we can do well as a football team.
Special teams coach Dennis Smith is going to join us in a little while. In the meantime, we're talking with Skip Holtz on Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Holtz. We're going to talk about UAB in a little while, but we can talk about them, but that team we talk about may not show up. And what I guess what I'm saying is that almost every stat or win or loss this year could have a little asterisk by us because of the COVID thing. You don't know who's going to be there and who's not, or who's practicing, who hadn't.
No, when you look at, when you start talking about UAB, and I know we'll get to this, but defensively, they are ranked in the top 10 in like four statistical categories. I mean, they're playing great football. They're playing aggressive football. This was a team that that held us to 270 yards a year ago, and they ended up beating us down there at their place. They return about eight or nine starters on each side of the ball. They rank in the top 20 and three more statistical categories outside the three that they're in the top 10 in. They really do a good job. But like you said, I'm hoping they all get COVID and can't come this week. So, I mean, that would be great. I mean,
Asymptomatic, I'm sure.
Right. Asymptomatic. I would like a break, yes.
Yes, they're 4-2 and 2-0 in the league, and they got tripped up by ULL the other day. They were the victims of a couple of late picks, so they'll come in at 2-0 in the conference. Okay. Susan from Ruston, why didn't Izzy play much in the second half? In the first half, Izzy had about 60 yards on 11 or 12 carries.
Yeah, the offense didn't play much in the second half, Susan. I mean, that
was... He only had 23 opportunities.
Yeah, because I didn't want to put him in at free safety because we only had five plays in the third quarter. And then when you got into the fourth quarter, I mean, he didn't get the ball. He still played a lot, but at that point in time, you were probably a little bit more in a passing game because of the way that they were loading the box and coming after our rushing game trying to get three and outs. So, great question, but he did not get a chance to show up the way that he did in the first half, and part of that was where the game was at that point and the way that they changed their defense.
That was actually a pretty clever answer about putting him in at safety.
Yep. Will, I could have done that.
Well, Will, I'm sure he'd gone in. Will, he didn't say where he's from, but Will wants to know this. What happened on the last play of the game? Was it a call screen, or did the O-line just fall apart on the play?
Well, actually, this goes back to the question earlier about throwing the ball down the field and big plays and how many yards can we get and trying to run a ball control offense. Actually, we were kind of dinking it and dunking it and trying to move the ball. We had 2 minutes, didn't feel like we needed to get in too big of a hurry. One of the coaches over the headset said, you know what, let's take a shot down the field with Adrian Hardy. And I said, oh, I like it. I want to call this protection. Somebody said, no, run this other protection. We did. We dropped back. Adrian Hardy is running wide open, and unfortunately the quarterback was not able to set his feet, get it gone. What he should have done is tried to take off to the right or to the left and throw the ball out of the pocket. It was first and 10 with 51 seconds to go. Even if you take a sack, it's now second and 20, and we still have a chance to make it and get ourselves in field goal range. But what you can't do is you can't force the ball, because the quarterback was looking down the middle of the field instead of the right. He got a little bit of pressure, and unfortunately we weren't able to adjust to it. So it certainly wasn't a pretty finish, nor the one that I had envisioned in my head when we put Aaron in the game to finish.
Speaking of weird passes, of weird plays, Inky from Sterlington. On Anthony's final play, it was third and eight. You're trailing by a point, 6 minutes left. And he tries to pass, and the ball just did it slip out of his hand?
You know, what happened, Inky, was he was looking. He really, I think he probably predetermined that he was going to throw the ball to one of the receivers. And when they changed coverage, he tried to kind of squeeze the ball, like pull it back, and I think it popped out. But, yeah, I mean, I think Luke has done a great job. I think there's like seven plays in that game where I'd like for him, his eyes to be someplace else or to read the defense. I'd like for him. He made one play, made a great check. He went to the line. He saw it. He checked the play, snapped the ball, took the drop, and then threw it to the other receiver. And it was like, no, we're checking to go to the – I mean, he just predetermined sometimes. And it's natural for a guy that's been in the offense as little as he has. Mm-hmm. We've got to be better. I make no excuses for him. We got to be better. We got to do a better job coaching him. We got to do a better job preparing him to play. But he's also got to relax and play football. And I think he wants to do so well, he gets very uptight. But believe me, I was as flabbergasted as you were that the ball came spitting out the back when he went to go throw it forward.
Speaking of being instinctive, John from Dallas says, against UTSA, we seemed very instinctive in the first half and hesitant in the second. What caused the change?
I don't know that we were hesitant in the second. I don't know if that was the case, John. I don't know that there was anything that changed. We went in at halftime. There weren't a lot of adjustments to make. The only thing that happened was defensively, they started getting much more aggressive and started blitzing us and putting everybody on the line of scrimmage and saying, we're going to force them to do something. Where early they were, don't give up the big play. Then at the end it was a little bit more throw caution to the wind, get after him, put some pressure on it. We did not handle the pressure very well. And that's the same thing that happened with Marshall pressured us for a game and UTEP pressured us for a half. And we've got to do better operating as an offensive football team under pressure.
The Bulldogs will be in the Joe Saturday to play UAB. UAB has been in a couple of championship games the last couple of years. The expectations are high for them. They come in at 2-0 in the league. Bulldogs at 2-2. And in a fist fight in the league to try to get to the conference game. Crispy Dog has a two-part question here, Coach. The quick slant pass over the middle was very successful other than the Powell fumble. Why do we keep repeatedly passing to the sidelines behind the line of scrimmage for no gain?
Well, one, that's the screen, Crispy. I mean, the play to the sideline is a screen, and what we're trying to do is we're trying to get them to spread out and play the field sideline to sideline. Unfortunately, we've got to do a better job of reading it, because when it's covered down, we need to hand the ball off. And there was a number of times in the game Saturday that it was covered down and we threw the ball out there for no gain. I look at that play as a sweep. When we can throw the ball out there, get it on the perimeter in a hurry, we threw two out there to C.J. Powell down in the red zone, completed both of them. Both of them went for about 5-6 yards. Made a first down there. I mean, it's a sweep. It's a quick hitting play that takes some pressure off the offensive line. I think we need to keep the play. Unfortunately, I think we need to do a better job of reading it for sure. Part two to that.
Yeah, part two. Why does everyone on offense look confused and hesitant and afraid after our opening drive? Are we just scared to death of making a mistake?
No, I thought in the first half we looked really good. I thought the entire first half outside of the red zone, and I'm surprised that maybe some of the questions weren't a little bit more critical of the red zone, and I think there's some things that we could have done in the red zone, but I thought everybody was dialed in. I thought we moved the ball. I thought we executed the game plan really well with everything that they had put on film. Unfortunately, when we came out in the second half, they changed. And all of a sudden you start to make adjustments with a new quarterback and a couple offensive line, and they start putting more and more pressure on your offensive line, and some of those things stood out.
Speaking for Luke Anthony, he passed for about 5,000 yards at Abilene Christian in 2 years. So he's a good player.
He's a very good player.
And he was a two-time team captain over there. It's a hard position to play.
Well, it's a harder position to play when you haven't had any practice. I mean, that makes it – I know Allen Iverson thinks that's overrated a little bit. But
he didn't play quarterback, though.
No, this is true. Because
he didn't play quarterback.
It is a huge mental position. And Ryan Higgins' first year in this offense – you know, when Ryan Higgins played his freshman year, and that was in 2013, which I would imagine the numbers that we're putting up right now are probably very similar to those type of year. It was Ryan Higgins' first year in the offense. And everybody, when a couple years later, after we had the Jeff Driscoll had graduated, Cody Sokol had graduated, everybody said, who's going to be the quarterback? And I said, Ryan Higgins. And they said, really? Can we go get another transfer? I mean, do we have to play with him? Is there not anybody else that can run our offense? And he went on to have the second most prolific year of a passer in Louisiana Tech history. Same quarterback that got booed off the field as a redshirt freshman in his first year in the offense. It's a hard position to play without a lot of the mental work. And so, like I said,
Iverson can sit there and shoot jump shots by himself in practice, but you can't practice by yourself
in football
as a quarterback.
No,
you can't. Not going to help you a lot.
You cannot simulate that. And you're right. And here's the other thing. Luke is not turning the ball over. He is throwing the ball very accurate. I think he's doing an excellent job, as I said earlier, outside of about 7-8 reads where he's predetermining where he's going to go with the football. Mm-hmm. And we've just got to get him more comfortable. And that's my job as the head coach, to make sure that we're putting him in a position to give him the best chance to succeed. And Coach Sloan's job as a position coach to sit in the meetings and talk with him about what we got to see and how we got to see it, and his to learn it. But we got to put a lot of pressure on ourselves. But said this before, I'm going to put a big asterisk next to this year anyway, just because of all the COVID things that we've been through. And I'm not blaming any of that. We got to go play. But I certainly would like to take a lot of this criticism after a spring ball and a fall camp when we've had a chance to develop this football team. I think everybody that goes to a football game should stand up and applaud every young man for what he's been through to get out there on the field, and what he's been through in testing, what he's been through in contact tracing, to be locked in his room for a month and had meals slid under the door and still have the mental wherewithal and conditioning to go out there and play.
Yeah, thank goodness that everybody's willing to go through that and to get on the field. Luke was 22 of 33, did not throw an interception. He threw for 148 yards, and he threw for a touchdown. And congratulations, it was to West Monroe's Jacob Allen, and it was a beautiful play, and I was real happy for that young man. To Hall went in.
Oh, on fourth and down, we got down there in the red zone three times, and I just felt like didn't need another field goal. And Jake Adams did a great job. He's playing fullback, doing a really nice job for us. And when I thought Luke did a nice job of lofting it up, and to see Jake catch the ball, I know the excitement and energy on the sidelines for that young man, for just the amount of respect he has. He starts on all four of our special teams. He runs down on the kickoff. He's on kickoff return. He does an unbelievable job. And I know Dennis will have the opportunity to talk a little bit about him with special teams as well.
Dennis is coming? Is he already here?
He is here.
Dennis is in the house. We'll come back in a minute and talk to Dennis Smith, special team coach of the Bulldogs. You're listening to Bulldog Football on Learfield IMG College. See you in a second.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texters game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustonRecycles.org today.
At Century Next Bank, we don't just do business in our communities, we invest in them. and that means investing in you. We are here for all the moments in your life, from your very first car, to the day you walk down the aisle, to the day you celebrate your retirement. We are here for all the moments in your life. Life's experiences that define you. When a bank becomes more than a checking account or a loan, we are here. Century Next Bank. What's next for you? Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Ruston Eye and Vision, Dr. Brad Anders is here to meet all of your eye care needs. We do it all, from glasses and contacts to diabetic eye exams, glaucoma, redness, or dry eyes. At Ruston Eye and Vision, we prescribe Zeiss eyeglass lenses for the clearest optics and the highest quality of vision. Dr. Anders is happy to see patients of all ages, including infants and children. Call Ruston Eye and Vision today at 318-232-6552 to schedule an appointment. Or just stop on by our office in the new expansion of Ruston Commons on Farmerville Highway, north of I-20 in Ruston. Since 1938, Claiborne Electric Cooperative has been answering the call for much-needed service. Claiborne Electric's board of directors, management team, and employees all live right here in North Louisiana. And we know what our members want and need because we are their neighbors. Our number one goal has always been to help provide a better way of life for our members, and our commitment to that goal is stronger than ever. Claiborne Electric Cooperative, we are your friends and neighbors.
Ever put your watch on at 7 in the morning only to notice it reads 2:35? Or that sinking feeling when you click your vehicle remote and the doors don't open? You need to see Paul at National Jewelry. Watch batteries, vehicle remote batteries, installed quickly. Paul can also fix that link in your watch band and all other jewelry repair, and they do it in-house. Guys, please don't forget your anniversary this month. National Jewelry has their special surprise. National Jewelry, your diamond and engagement and battery store. Reynolds Drive, Ruston.
That's the secret phone.
The what?
Remember? I told you my dad's a shelter agent. When that phone rings, he rushes out to save the day. Whether someone's home or car gets damaged, my dad is always there to help. He has the coolest job ever.
Well, my dad's an astronaut.
That's cool too, I guess.
Find your insurance superhero at shelterinsurance.com.
See Dennis Cook in Monroe, Jonathan Gregory in Rayville, or Kelly Sampson in Natchitoches.
Hey, we're back at the doghouse on Inside Bulldog Football. I'm Teddy Allen. Joined now by Dennis Smith, the special team coach of the Bulldogs. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Marshall is at FIU Friday night in Conference USA. Saturday, UTSA is going to be at Florida Atlantic at 11. North Texas at UTEP is at 1. Rice at ESPN. I'm sorry, Rice at Southern Miss on ESPN 3 at 2. UAB and Tech, that'll be on Stadium. And, Dave Nitz will have the call for you starting at 1 with the pregame show kicks at 2:30. Charlotte and Duke at 6. And Western Kentucky is at BYU at 9:15. And the beautiful thing about that is Tech's got a home game in the afternoon, so you can get home and still watch football. Dennis, when you get home Saturday night, will you watch football on television, or will you stay at the Fieldhouse late?
Absolutely. I will go home, and I am going to sit on my floor, Indian style, like I do after every game, and I'm going to eat Dairy Queen, about $27 of bad food, because I eat healthy during the week, and I'm going to eat an extra large Blizzard with Snickers, Butterfinger, Oreo, and Reese's Pieces, like I do every week.
That's your postgame. What's your pregame meal?
About 5 Red Bulls.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Dennis has been here now for this your second year, and how's the COVID situation affected the way you get players, your little pool of players that comes to you?
You know, this year has been unique because it was truly a plug and play day by day. It really was. In camp, you know, one day you had someone up, then the next day someone was down, and it was truly a domino effect every single day from, you know, July when we started all the way through camp and really even into the first 2-3 weeks of the season. Knock on wood, it's kind of stabilized, and I think that's why you started to see better special teams play, because we've had some stability and some guys have gained invaluable experience.
Some of your guys, Wayne Toussaint, what makes him an exciting player for you?
Oh, he can run. I mean, he's crazy, crazy, ridiculous fast. If he touches the football, he has a chance to go, you know, really far every time. And he is emerging, and that team around him is emerging, and we expect big things down the stretch, kind of like he did last year down the stretch in the return game.
We're visiting with Dennis Smith. He's special teams coach of the Bulldogs. We'll be here till 7 o'clock. Come to the doghouse this evening and watch the Monday Night Football. Take advantage of drink and food specials. Dennis, when C.J. Powell was returning that punt the other night, 22 yards, and the yard line tackled him, what was your response? I couldn't see you next to us in the box. Did you throw up on your shoes? Did you say a bad word? What did you
I tell you, I really can't. I don't know that I could say that on the radio, what I said. No, it's one of those things. He was trying to make a play, and it was unfortunate that we didn't finish with a touchdown, points on the board. But it's. I think that play is indicative of the progress we're making and still how far we have to go. I think that sums it up.
He's we'll miss him. He's been here 5 years, and he's been a joy to be around and a very versatile guy. Will Smoke return punts this week, or will CJ, or do you know yet?
Don't know yet. We anticipate Smoke coming back, and, you know, Smoke and CJ Powell, who I total confidence in the world in CJ Powell. He wouldn't be back there if we didn't think he could do it. Mm-hmm. And he's proven he can get us going in the return game. And then we've got a couple of other guys emerging as well.
Who are those guys?
We've got Taj McGee, Cedric Woods is really coming along, and, you know, guys like Jawan Johnson and Isaiah Graham have done it as well.
You said that the one question you're asked mostly about around town is, why can't Tech punt the football? And, of course, Jacob can punt it, Brady can punt it, but they haven't had the kind of success y'all want. So how do you answer that question? I'll give you $20 if you can tell me the answer. Is that what you tell them? I don't know.
After hearing that question for like the 100th time, I responded, if I knew the answer to that question, don't you think we would have solved it? We're getting better. We're improving. We've gone from not being good at all to improving. We're still not where we need to be, but they're working. The biggest thing, and I think Coach Holtz has probably answered this question on the radio show before,
okay,
we're executing in practice, but it's not carrying over to the game. And that falls on me as the special teams coordinator, because as a young coach, I learned a long time ago, doesn't matter how many times you go over it or what you do, at the end of the day, you're responsible for the execution of your players on Saturday. And, you know, it's ultimately that falls on me, and we just got to continue to go back until we get it right.
Were you satisfied with how all the kicks were covered the other night?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We gave up a total of, I think it was, what, six or seven.
It was pretty
between
sweet.
Punt returns and kick returns. Yeah. We gave up a total of like 7 net yards between all of those returns. Jawan Johnson got down on four tackles. It was good to see Taj McGee, Carson Ryder. We're going to need those guys to step up this week, because we've got a challenge with what UAB does from a return standpoint.
All right, before we ask you about UAB, you mentioned Dairy Queen a minute ago. Why DQ? Have you ever gone another fast food franchise for your post-game entertainment, or did you dig in on that one as a young man and you just haven't been able to get off of it?
You know what? I'm a Wendy's guy by trade. I'm a Wendy's guy, but actually last year I went to the line in Wendy's and it was real, real long, and I didn't want to wait, so I went to the Dairy Queen line, and after that we won. It was like 4 or 5 games in a row eating Dairy Queen, so I stayed with Dairy Queen.
Data, baby. Keep doing that. All right, UAB, their special teams. What makes them a favorite in the West? What makes them a good team on special teams?
You know, they are very, very simple, which allows you to be sound. They play a lot of older guys. They play a lot of starters. And they have a lot of guys that, if you look at the film of our game last year and then you turn on the film this year, you see a lot of the same guys. Mm-hmm. And they've played a lot of football on special teams. And what they do is simple. So there's a lot of reps where those kids gain confidence in what they're asked to execute. They've got a really solid punter. It's a brand new kicker that they're breaking in. Their kicker that they had last year was drafted. And they've got a dynamic punt returner and kick returner in Myron Watkins, number 5.
Yep. Okay. That'll be happening at 2:30. Dennis Smith and the special teams, offense and defense, will get after it. UAB at the Joe, Saturday. Big challenge, big opportunity for you guys. Dennis will be here for a few more minutes before he goes back to the field house. If you want to get his address, if you're hungry after the game, either come to the doghouse or go to Dennis Smith's house. Dennis Smith, everybody. We'll be back in a moment with Skip Holtz. You listen to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
Graphic Packaging International is one of the world's largest manufacturers of folding cartons and a proud sponsor of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics Day and the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. Graduates of these programs provide us well-prepared employees to help us be our best in the industry. Our relationship with Northeast Louisiana began 95 years ago, and since then our company has grown to over 17,000 employees working in 70 locations across the globe, helping our customers meet changing consumer demands. Be a part of the next 95 years. Visit us at careers.graphicpkg.com.
The Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston is a proud hotel partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics and the recipient of the Louisiana Travel and Promotion Association Accommodations of the Year. We are just minutes from Louisiana Tech campus and stadiums and take great pride in providing our guests exceptional service while they're in town visiting our beautiful community. With our spacious guest rooms, free internet, complimentary breakfast, and friendly staff, our guests are sure to experience true Southern hospitality. Come visit the Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston. We will ever loyal be.
Hard work, experience, and dedication. Traits needed for success in both sports teams and medical teams. At Louisiana Pain Care, we are dedicated to treating your pain. Doctors Ledbetter, Gordon, Fort, and Ellis work hard to ensure they get you back to your life, whether it's playing a sport, playing with grandchildren, or just waking up without pain. Louisiana Pain Care wants you to live a life without limits. Ask your doctor today if Louisiana Pain Care is right for you, and check us out at lapaincare.com. That's lapaincare.com.
Got an anniversary coming up? How about a special birthday? Getting ready to propose? Or have you gotten yourself in one of those spots that only a diamond could say, I'm sorry for what happened? Well, for any special occasion that only diamonds will work for, visit National Jewelry for any budget for any occasion. National Jewelry features the top names in jewelry. Gabriel, Simon G, Coast Diamonds, Natalie K. When you need some sparkle and shine and smile, see National Jewelry, Reynolds Drive, Ruston.
Live radio. We're back on the radio to wrap this thing up in a few minutes with Skip Holtz. First, we're going to talk about UAB and take a couple of more texts. We have Jake from State. Jake from State Farm. Cedric Woods never looked back on the long sideline completion. That would have been across the field from you to your left.
Yes.
Seems he might have had a shot at an interception if he looked back. The gist of it is, how does Tech coach its DBs in that situation? Used to, everybody, they told you to look back. But I don't know that everybody does that.
No, you still need to look back. I mean, you still need to look back, and it's an age-old question, because what people started doing was playing through the wide receiver's hands, and all of a sudden people would not look back, and then the interference changed to, if you don't look back for the ball, you will get, not only will you get no benefit of the doubt if there is any contact, but you will probably get a penalty. And so now you have to teach getting your eyes back. He was on top of the play. He was in a bail technique, which meant he was going to start on the line of scrimmage, and then he was going to open and run. And so he was on top of it, but he got back there, and really he's made two interceptions on deep balls and really done a nice job of getting his eyes around. And on that one, he just never looked back. I can't explain to it why, but we certainly need to look back. It is something that I believe in. It's something that we need to do a better job of. And as football coaches, that's what we got to get our players to do, is to execute the techniques we want them to. But I certainly think that we need to look back, for sure.
I think he would have had a shot.
He definitely would have had a shot. And then the ball was underthrown, was over the top of it.
I know. Ask Skip, says Taco Tuesday, how it is to be working with his son and have him on the sidelines. You have a son on the staff?
I do, and you know what? It has been a blessing, and I say this because I remember when I had the opportunity to see it from his eyes when I worked for my father, and it's 10 of the best years of coaching I've ever had. Not only was I doing what I love and what I'm passionate about, but I was having the opportunity to do it with my father, and what an awesome, awesome experience it was. But how great this has been, because now I'm having the opportunity to see it through the eyes of my father. And now I'm having the opportunity to see it as the adult working with his son. And I think it's more enjoyable from here than it was as a son. As much as I loved it as a son, I think it's that much more enjoyable to see your son have the opportunity to do something he's passionate about and so proud of him, and the way that he's interacting with the players and bought in with the staff and the job that he's doing right now. So it's really been rewarding for me as a coach.
He's got some good a good bunch to be around too in those slots. In the players he's had, and he's also got Jake Adams. Bobby in Spring Hill, do you plan to use some of your freshman running backs now, and can you tell us a little about who you may play?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of them. I think Harlan Dixon is really going to be something special. Unfortunately, early in the season, he was one of those that was out with COVID. That was out with COVID for about 3 weeks. And what happens is it's kind of like missing the first 3 days of Spanish class. You know, and then you walk in day four, or the first 3 days in math when they did 2 + 2 = 4, and you walk in when they're doing the square root of, multiplication, division. It's kind of like that. And so when you miss the first couple days about formations and some of those things, and then you come in and we're talking about blocking schemes, it's like, how do you know which side to line up on? How do you know what's right, what's left? What do these words mean? I mean, it's difficult. But I think Harlan is a really intelligent young man. He's going to be a really, really good football player. I think right now when you've got two guys like Izzy Tucker and Justin Henderson, Greg Garner is the junior college player that we've seen a little bit of. But as long as everybody remains healthy and out there on the depth chart, it's hard to play three or four running backs. And so right now, as this is going, I think you're going to see a lot of Izzy Tucker, Justin Henderson, and Greg Garner. But I definitely think guys like Harlan Dixon are going to be a huge part of the equation moving forward in years to come.
All right, and you want to get more than 23 snaps in a half for anybody to have a decent chance.
No, that will help. That will help us play more people and call more plays. Yes.
Logo says, why do y'all hold up the black curtains behind the coaches on the sideline?
Well, it is. Unfortunately, stealing signals is a big part of college football today. It is probably way too much. It's being done way too much, and I wish I'm not a signal guy. I don't look at their sideline, but unfortunately, what you're trying to do is you're trying to protect your signalers from the press box and where the coaches sit in the press box. Whether it's at home, the curtain's behind us. If it's on the road, the curtain's in front of us, and we try and align where we can see the players, but their coaches' booth can't see us. And that is reality, that stealing signals is part of what people do today to try and get an edge up and a leg. I wish we would go, if we would go to the earpieces and the helmets, I think you'd find out just how good a coach's people are. People are trying to get an advantage and jumping on top of it. I don't like it. I don't like that part of college football, and I wish they'd get away from it.
I'm surprised, I wish they would too then, that I hadn't heard from Grumpy Dog tonight. I thought that if nothing else, either Grouchy Dog or Grumpy Dog would text me, but we're not so lucky. Okay, UAB, they played in a couple of title games the last couple of years. The expectations over there higher than ever. They're 4-2. They're 2-0 in the league. They beat UTSA. They beat Western Kentucky in the conference. What have you seen on film about them? And you give us a little brief scouting report.
Well, you know, when you look at them, I mean, their defense is exceptional. They're playing great defensive football right now. When you look at they're aggressive, they're big, they're long, they're lean, they're athletic. But I think they're playing really good defensive football. They held South Alabama to 10 points, UTSA to 13 points, Western Kentucky to 14 points, and they lost this week to Lafayette, but they lost 20-24, and they gave up a touchdown. They gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown. So really, they held Lafayette to 17 points. And so when you look at them, they're playing really solid defense right now. They've got a really big running back in Brown. They give him the ball. It seems like he's been there for about 7 years. He's been there a long time. He's one of the top 10 rushers in the country right now. It seems like we've played a lot of those lately.
Yeah.
When you look at tailbacks, we've played some really good ones, and we'll play another good one in Brown this week. But they're a very good football team. They're the reigning West Division champs, and they're going to be there until somebody can knock them out of the box. And it's one of the things that we're going to look at competing this week and see what we can get done.
Well, you still believe, or like to say, that it's still about y'all, though, correct? Because if you can't get some of your stuff figured out, it's not going to matter who you play that much.
I do think it's about us. I do think it's about us getting ourselves situated, and I don't even think it's about us trying to attack an opponent's defense as much as it is about executing the calls that we can make. And I think that right now it's at a tough spot where we are, as we talked about before, with young quarterbacks and with tackles that have really been struggling. I mean, well, they were really struggling because they weren't there for 2 weeks. But even just coming back, you missed 3 weeks of development that's really a setback for us. So we just got to keep getting better. We got to execute what we can do as an offense, and we got to find a way with special teams, offense, and defense to score more points than our opponent. And that's the ultimate goal and what we're trying to do right now.
Last question for the night, and then we'll take a break and come back and say goodnight to everybody. But Keithy Rose and Big Milt, Deshaun, Kendra, I saw everybody over there at some point on that side of the ball made some kind of play. How would you grade the, if you were saying defensive line, what grade would you give them? What grade would you give the linebackers? What grade would you give the secondary?
I think you got to give the linebackers I don't know that they can play a whole lot better.
They go to the head of the class.
Yeah, they go to the head of the class right now. The way Trey Baldwin is playing, I think he's playing outstanding. I'm so proud of him, the progress he's making. I think he's doing a great job. I look at the way Mackie Carabin's playing as a guy that missed the first couple weeks and has come back off a hand injury, playing really solid football.
And in his hometown the other night.
In his hometown in San Antonio. But really, when I look at that, I can't say enough about the freshman and what Tyler Grubbs is doing right now. He's adding a dimension to that room, and I think there's three linebackers that are playing at a really high level. I think our defensive line with guys like Milton Williams, Eric Kinzer, getting better and better. Some of the young guys like Deshaun Hall, Keavy Rose, Michael Clark. I think some of those guys, Levi Bell played a really good game the other night. I think some of those young guys are getting better and better, so I'd probably give that D-line a B with the way they're playing right now. I think the safeties with Khalil Adler, B.J. Williamson, and Jaden Cole are doing a lot of good things, but right now we got to continue to get better. We got to continue to get better at corner. I think when you look at our football team right now on defense, we got to get better at corner, we got to get better at tackles, and we got to get more productive at the quarterback position. And so I think that's the biggest assessment. I think we've got some wide receivers that have been playing really, really well, and we just got to do a better job of getting them the ball. And I know, you know, I think there's some guys that are playing well on defense, but linebackers are playing the best. Then I would say safeties, then D-line, and corners a position that has to keep coming.
Yeah, your corners from last year playing on television now in the NFL, so left some big spots, but they'll get there.
They will. We just got to keep working at it and keep progressing and keep growing and keep developing. And I know that, you know, talking about some of the positions and where we got to get better, I know Ben talked about if Allen gave us the best chance to win at the end of the game, why didn't he give us the best chance the entire game? Well, I think when we came into it, I mean, I think right now the way Luke has been throwing the ball and protecting the football, watching practice every day and seeing how they've done, I think Luke gives us the best chance to win. Unfortunately, when we got in that game and they started applying a little bit more pressure, I don't like some of the reads that he made, and I was created a little bit of concern, and that's why we went with Aaron at the end of the game. I think it's a very tough situation to throw Aaron into a two-minute drive at the very end, but, you know, I don't like the interception that Aaron threw. You know, I mean, I didn't like that either, but I think, and I agree with, you know, because Ben from Tulua said, you know, Luke can't be effective without a good O-line, which we don't have in its current configuration. And have we seen it enough now to make a change? I think we want to change the offensive line. I just, you know, it's, there just aren't a whole lot of 6'7", 320 people walking around the building right now that I can put in on the offensive line. And I think that we've got to play Aaron Allen more. When we first came into this season, we said we were going to play them both. You get into a game, you're rolling in the first half, so you don't put Aaron in the first half. You have a third quarter where you have five plays in the third quarter, so you don't get him in there. And then in the fourth, it's not a thing where we don't want to play him. And what we have to do, we have to make ourselves play him and say, you know what, the third series of the game he's going in. I've sat up here for 6 weeks now and said we have every intention of playing two quarterbacks each and every week. We've played two quarterbacks each and every week. It doesn't always work out the way we want, but we got to get Aaron in there a little bit earlier and give him an opportunity to see if maybe he can do a little bit better job with the offensive line and with some of the things going on. But even as we saw when he went in for the two-minute drive and threw the interception, that's not fair to evaluate either quarterback under that kind of pressure that they're getting right now. And we've got to do a better job as coaches calling plays and giving them a chance. And I knew as soon as I called a deep ball and it came out of my mouth, as I said earlier, I hold my breath every time, and I'd love to have it back, because that's not fair to those young men that are out there to have to make decisions with people in their face that way.
Well, if you see a 6'7", 275-pound guy in our girl, I guess, in physics class or math class, give me a call on the Bulldog hotline, and I'll shoot a name to Skip. UAB at 2:30 Saturday. We'll be back in just a second. Wrap this up from the doghouse. You're listening to Bulldog Football on Learfield, IMG College.
No matter what challenges life throws your way, Century Next Bank is here for you. Whether it be buying your first home, or welcoming new members of the family, or facing all the financial burdens that come with this journey we call life, Century Next Bank is here for you. For solutions to help you face this brave new world, we are here. Century Next Bank, what's next for you? Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Since 1938, Claiborne Electric Cooperative has been answering the call for much-needed service. Claiborne Electric's board of directors, management team, and employees all live right here in North Louisiana. And we know what our members want and need because we are their neighbors. Our number one goal has always been to help provide a better way of life for our members, and our commitment to that goal is stronger than ever. Claiborne Electric Cooperative, we are your friends and neighbors.
All the special dates in your life, it's National Jewelry. For engagement rings, wedding bands, anniversary gifts, birthday surprises, Christmas gifts, Valentine love you gifts, the special sparkle and shine with fine jewelry from Gabriel, Simon G, Coast Diamonds, Natalie K. For the special gift occasion in your year, it's National Jewelry, your diamond and engagement ring store, Riddles Drive, Ruston.
Hey Bulldog fans, this is Chase Patterson, physical therapist at Legacy Outpatient Therapy Services. As a Ruston native and a graduate of Louisiana Tech, it has been my pleasure helping the people of Ruston and its surrounding communities get back to optimal health. Whether you're an athlete, weekend warrior, or just trying to enjoy a pain-free retirement, come see us at Lots and we'll help you achieve your goals. Give us a call at 255-9601 or find us on Facebook or Instagram to set up your first appointment. Lots, your home for trusted therapy solutions.
Powered by Legacy Rehabilitation, official partner of LaTeX Athletics.
Get your ice cold Bud Light. Bud Light Seltzer here. Even though you can't go to the game, doesn't mean the game can't be brought to you now here. Just go to BudLight.com/delivery. That's BudLight.com/delivery.
Give me two bagels.
Coming at you. It's a little short. Ow. Sorry. You know what? I'm just going to walk them over to you.
Whenever there's a game to watch, there's a Bud Light there. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Bud Light Beer and Bud Light Seltzer. IRC Beer. Beer in Texas, St. Louis, Missouri.
That's the secret phone.
The what?
Remember, I told you my dad's a shelter agent. When that phone rings, he rushes out to save the day. Whether someone's home or car gets damaged, my dad is always there to help. He has the coolest job ever.
Well, my dad's an astronaut.
That's cool too, I guess.
Find your insurance superhero at shelterinsurance.com.
See Dennis Cook in Monroe, Jonathan Gregory in Rayville, or Kelly Sampson in Natchitoches.
The doghouse, we got a minute. We're going to let Skipsters say goodnight to you. Skip, you got anybody to thank?
Oh, we got a lot of people to thank. We got through 16 questions tonight, and I want to thank everybody for just being involved, because that's what we want to get done on this show, is we want to make sure that we answer, give you the insight that you're looking for from Bulldog Football.
Amen.
For Logo, for Taco Tuesday, Will, Bobby in Spring Hill, Jake from State Farm, now Rayville actually, John from Dallas, from Crispy Dog, both your questions, and you know what, I appreciate your text on the candid responses. Sally from Ruston, for Ben from Tallulah, Susan from Ruston, Lake from Ruston, Billy from Mooringsport, Inky from Sterling, Ben from Shreveport, Little Joe from Rayville, and Big Joe from Rayville. Thank you so much for your questions, and we look forward to seeing everybody in the Joe this weekend at 2:30.
You bet. Thanks for getting us on the air, Elton. Shelby and the gang, say goodnight from the doghouse. Until next time, we will
see you.
This has been Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Holtz. Brought to you by Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics. Louisiana Propane Dealers, fuel for our future. Origin Bank, the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics. And by Northern Louisiana Medical Center, the official imaging partner of La Tech Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the La Tech Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.